32. We had a good crowd this morning. It's a little different than Mother's Day in the past. We're still recovering from COVID, and so we might not have had quite as many as we would have had maybe in years past on Mother's Day. And I guess another thing would be people going to the restaurants early. They know they're not going to get out early here and get to the restaurant. With restaurants being short-handed, they'd have to get there about 9 o'clock in the morning to get a table to eat at lunch. So you just got to, when you go out to eat at a restaurant right now, you got to know they've got about 3 servers in a large restaurant and maybe 1 in a small restaurant. And those poor, be kind to them. Those poor servers are working themselves to death. Yesterday we were in a restaurant and I saw one girl. I mean, most of the tables were empty, but they were using 2 or 3 tables, and they were trying to keep those tables cleaned up. And one girl, she's just running down the aisle between the tables to get to that table as soon as the people left, so she could wipe it and clean it up and all. So I kind of felt sorry for those who were working like that. They're working like dogs, and for how somebody's inconvenienced like we are, go in and get on to them and make them feel worse probably doesn't help anything. So be kind to them, give them a good tip, and maybe all this will blow over one of these days. Psalm 32, we'll read verse 8 and 9, just these two verses. I want to preach on discovering the will of God. Discovering the will of God, Psalm 32, verse 8 and verse 9. Verse 8 says, I will instruct thee. The Lord is speaking here. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Notice verse 8 one more time. He says 3 things here that we need to really notice. Maybe you want to underline these in your Bible. God says, I will instruct thee. Instruct thee. I've underlined that. And teach thee. I've underlined that. And then he says, thirdly, I will guide thee. That sounds like, without a doubt, God has a plan for every man, woman, boy, and girl, and he has a will for your life, no matter who you are. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'd bless us. Help us to know how to discern the will of God. I pray that you'd bless with the presence of the Holy Spirit. May he guide us, alert us to words of the Scripture, and for the sound of your voice coming through the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Bless us tonight. Show us how to discern the will of God, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Bible college, I remember young people talking, and they'd be asking each other, what do you think? What do you think a person has to do to really know the will of God? And they're asking each other and giving each other their opinions and scriptural references, and you hear those same students talking to instructors and maybe the pastor and seeking counsel, and they're asking, how can I know? How can I know the will of God? And that's something every person ought to ask. But it's not some mystical, hidden, secretive thing that God doesn't want us to know. Wouldn't it be strange if God had a will for every person and then hid it from us so we couldn't find it? Doesn't it seem logical, knowing God, a loving God, who is not only omnipotent, but he is omnipresent, he is omniscient. He wants us to be able to follow his plan, and so he wants to make his will known to us. And the will of God is not just for one class of people like those young Bible college students seeking to go into the ministry. Now, he has a plan for them, and they're wise to seek it out. But God has a will for the dad who's working a job and going to church. God has a will for the mom who's reading her Bible quietly while the kids are taking a nap. God has a will for the retired couple who says, now what do we do? God has a will for the elderly widow who's just lost her husband. Now the finances and future plans falls on her alone. And she says, how can I know the will of God? The young child, elementary age kids, can know that God has a will, a plan for them, and that plan is discernible. They can know. Every single person When we're at our very best is when we're following the plan that God has set out for us. As your pastor, I can counsel you. I can give you advice. I can point you to scriptures. And I can pray for you. But God didn't tell me the will for everybody's life. He has it. He knows it. But I want to point out four ways that you can hopefully, find God's will. What four things will help us to know? Well, I'm glad you asked. The first one is this: a surrender of the will. A surrender of the will. If you want to know God's will for your life, you really want to know what God wants you to do in any particular instance, maybe what God wants you to do in a particular decision that happens pretty soon in the future, or what God wants you to do with your life that'll last until you die. The first thing you need to do is surrender to the will of God, whatever that will happens to be. Surrender is the key. You might not know what God wants you to do, but if you surrender, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we've all read this dozens of times, but it's still true. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What does he say for us to do? To present ourselves as a sacrifice. Lord, here I am. I don't have a clue what you want me to do, but I'm yours. You tell me what to do. I'll sign the blank check, and you just tell me what to do. You say, well, that sounds kind of scary. Well, imagine this. A parent. Let's say both parents. They have a teenage boy comes and says, the teenage boy says, Dad, I just want you to know I've not always done exactly everything you've said and followed your advice on everything and not always obeyed you perfectly. But from here on, Dad, I just want you to know I plan to do whatever you ask of me and however you direct me. Now, don't hold your breath until that happens. But just suppose that boy came and said, Dad, I'm surrendering. Mom, I'll do whatever you want me to do. You guys direct my life. Well, now, you as a parent especially, you parents, Mom and Dad, would you sneak off into a back room and say, ha, does that boy just realize what he's done? Let's see what we can do to be mean to him and torture him. Would you do that? Do you think the Heavenly Father would do that to you? I submit to you that God loves you more than you could even love your earthly children. And he would never say, surrender to me so I can plan some evil things to get you into. God would have your best interest at heart, wouldn't he? Adrian Rogers said, do you want to know the will of God? Don't surrender to a plan, surrender to a person. Surrender to God. I think that's the essence of what the scripture is saying. Surrender to him, and then you open the door to find out what his will is. If he knows you're not going to obey him anyway, why would he bother to tell you what his will is? Why would he lay out a plan for you if he knows from the beginning you don't intend to follow it? But if you say, Lord, here am I. Have me do whatever you want me to do. I'm available. He's a loving God. He cares for you. And he's going to design his plan to be the best for you. It'll work out better than anything you or any other human being can design for yourself. Doesn't that make sense? Mean it when you sing that hymn. We sing sometimes that one line in the hymn, I believe it's at the cross. We sing, here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Let the Lord do the rest. If you can surrender like that, you're ready to move on to the next steps. Now, we said we had four that we're going to suggest tonight. And so that's the very first one. What do you do in the first place? Surrender to the Lord. Just surrender. What do we do in the second place? Then there's a saturation in the Word. not only surrender, but then saturate yourself in the Word of God. Some people think if they read the Bible that it'll tell them, God wants you to move to this town, buy that house, own this car, marry that woman, name the child this. The Bible doesn't work that way. But the Bible is filled. It's not filled with minute principles that tell us every little step of the way. It gives us broad principles to help us to rule in or out things from the Word of God. We know that the Word of God is true. So if we know it, if we're saturated by the Word of God, then when it comes to making a decision, we can say, well, that might be the will of God. At least it doesn't violate Scripture. Or we can say, nope, the Bible commands against that, so I'm not even going to consider that. I'm not even going to pray about that because the Bible says no to that. So at least you've got some guidelines there when you know the principles of the Word of God. See, we're getting closer. We're getting closer to knowing the specific will of God when we work from the general towards the specific. If you just find those principles in the Word of God, it'll help you. As you become familiar with the principles, it'll help you to rule in or rule out certain decisions. When I was in Bible college in the early 80s in Oklahoma City, I was working on houses at night, building cabinets, trimming houses. And we'd be out there. We'd work till maybe 2 o'clock in the morning. And there was this painter. We'd be doing a whole housing section, an addition. And there'd maybe be 15 or 20 houses, brand new houses, going up at one time. Well, when we'd get a house trimmed out, as soon as we moved out, moved into the next house to build the cabinets there, there was a painter that would move into the house behind us. And he would paint, stain and paint the cabinets, varnish them and all of that, and paint the baseboards and the trim. And so we'd take a coffee break during the night sometime, maybe around 9 or 10 o'clock, and we'd visit with him a little bit. And we got to know him. He was a Pentecostal kind of guy. And he told us he was a Christian. We witnessed to him, and he said he was saved. And so one night we took a break and went over and talked with him, and he asked about knowing the will of God. And I said, what are you thinking about? What decision have you got to make? He said, well, I think I'm going to leave my wife. And he said, there's this younger woman. Boy, she's pretty. He said, we're thinking about getting married. She's going to divorce her husband, and I'm going to divorce my wife, and we're going to get together and get married. He said, would you pray with me about it? I said, no. He said, well, why not? I'm your brother in Christ. I said, no, I'm not going to pray with you about violating the Scripture. The Bible, if you know the Word of God, you already know the Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery. And so there's no need for me to pray with you about that. You'd just be violating the Word of God. Do you see how that works? If you know some things that God says don't do, you don't do that. You don't have to even pray about it. You don't have to consider it. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to wonder if this is the will of God. If God said don't do it, then you just don't do it and go on. Find another possibility for obeying God's will. Those promoting homosexual lifestyle today and lesbianism, you know, there's many of them who claim to be Christians. Some of them, at least. And they say, well, love is love, and God wants us to be happy. Well, God's more interested in your holiness than he is your happiness. And besides that, there are clear passage of Scripture that we don't need to pray about whether or not God wants you to be a homosexual or a lesbian. The Bible says in Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. So that makes it pretty clear. I don't have to pray about that. Thank goodness. I'd hate to have to pray about that. And you read Romans chapter 1 in the New Testament, and it repeats the same thing, only it's elaborated more. And so we don't have to wonder what the will of God is. Now, all of that is just to say this, that there are certain principles in the Word of God that when we know them, we're familiar with them, we know that God says it's okay to go in this direction, but it's not okay to go in that direction. Do you see how that clears the air for finding the pathway that's going to please God? You know, if he says, don't go there, then you just don't go there. You don't even have to pray about it, wonder about it, if that's the will of God. It's not. God gives us principles. God knows that when you get saved, that you ought to be a witness for him. You ought to be a soul winner. You ought to be interested in getting people saved, participating and witnessing and sending missionaries and bringing people to church. God wants us to be, as Christians, he wants us to be soul winners. So we don't have to pray. I'm going to pray to see if God wants me to be a soul winner. You don't even have to pray about that. I can tell you already, it's the will of God if you're saved. See, because that's a principle in the Word of God that's already laid out. It says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So you see how that works? We know the principles. Don't do this, because there's a command, there's a principle against it. Do this because God says this is a good thing to do. So you can know that automatically, you don't even have to wonder about being a homosexual. Automatically, you don't have to wonder if God wants you to be a soul winner. Automatically, you don't have to wonder as a Christian if you ought to be a church member. You know he wants you to be those things. And so that narrows the field down. Now that brings us to the third thing. So starts with personal surrender. And then it continues being saturated with the Word. And then thirdly, there's the sound of wisdom. We learn how to discern the voice of wisdom coming from God. Once we have surrendered to Him, and once we have become familiar with the principles of the Word of God, and we search through the Scriptures as we're about to make a decision, maybe we don't know what the principles are yet, but we seek counsel and we seek the Word of God to see if there's something in the Word of God that would direct us one way or the other. And then the third thing is, as we do those things, we move to the third step, and that's listening for the voice of God. Now, this one's a little more tricky, because there are other voices internally that may or may not be the voice of God. That voice that said, go ahead and eat that strawberry shortcake after you're already full. That voice might not have been from God. That might have been outright lust. There's voices. There's inner promptings that come to us that may make us want to do this or to do that. We all have an internal conversation going on all the time. You knew that, didn't you? Just think about it a minute. We all, when you're driving down the road, you're talking to yourself. If not out loud, at least in your heart. And you're talking to yourself. How many of you just go ahead and talk out loud? You do, Lauren? Good. And Brother Denny. So there's two weird people. No, and Brother Hamry. Yeah, see, we're getting honest now. All of us probably do that from time to time. I talk out loud. He was a distant cousin. He was way older than me. He'd probably been like a great uncle or something. But he used to, where I grew up on the Guyon Road, you could hear him coming a half a mile away. He'd be driving an old team of mules. He'd be up, standing up on this old wooden wagon pulled by a team of mules. He's coming down that gravel road, clunkety, clunkety, clunk, rattle, rattle, rattle. Dogs are barking. And you'd hear Ted talking a mile away. Ted Brooks, he was a relative. You hear Ted talking a mile away. He's carrying on. He'll ask questions and answer himself real loud. And sound like he's having a good time, too. And I had a neighbor that lived beside him. They had a broiler house, chicken house. And she'd be out there taking care of those chickens. And I could hear her just walking down the lane beside the house. I could hear her in there talking. Boy, she's carrying on. She used to say, well, I tell you what, they've been talking about me, and I don't like that. Just gossip, gossip, gossip. That's all they ever do. And boy, she's selling them down the road. And I could hear her talking. She talked to herself a lot. And I heard one guy admit that he talked to himself, and somebody said, you mean you talk to yourself? Why? He said, well, I like to talk to somebody that's got good sense. We all have a voice inside. We're carrying on a voice. And sometimes when we're tempted to do something, we might hear a voice. That could be the devil when you're tempted to do something wrong. something outside the will of God. And that's why we need to be saturated with the Word of God, so we have those principles down solid. Then we're more likely to be able to discern the voice of wisdom. Here's what the Bible says. You know this one, James 1, 5, and 6. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. God doesn't want us tossed, following the devil's voice and then following the Lord's voice, and I think a lot of that happens. He wants us to have wisdom, and the Bible says to ask him for wisdom. As we seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, ask God for wisdom. And the Bible does say that he'll give it. And so we ask him. They must have known that, because the Bible specifically mentions the Holy Ghost in Acts 13:2 at that church at Antioch. Remember, there Paul and Barnabas and some of the other teachers were there, and here's what it says in Acts 13:2. As they ministered to the Lord, by the way, as you minister to the Lord, you're more likely to hear the voice of God. Amen. If you're living outside the will of God already and following the world, not serving God, are you listening? Not serving God, not ministering, you're more likely to hear the wrong voices. But here it says, as they ministered to the Lord, and fasted. They were serious. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, okay, now here comes the word. We need the wisdom to discern the voice of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And they did what? They sent Saul and Barnabas to the work. They heard the voice of God, and they heeded the voice of God. See, there's two parts there, hearing and heeding. It doesn't do us much good to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost and then not heed what he said. And so here we have the Holy Ghost working in the lives of this Saul and Barnabas and the lives of those men in that church that were making the decisions on whether to send them out or not. And the Holy Ghost is talking, and they hear it and they heed it. God's voice, remember this, God's voice is persistent. If he wants you to do something, if he wants you to know something, if he wants to lead you in a certain way, his voice tends to be pretty persistent. He's going to keep on. And Samuel, when Samuel was a little boy and his mother took him to the temple to be there with Eli the priest, Samuel's laying there in the bed one night and he's about to drift off to sleep. And I kind of like that feeling. I used to like that feeling about midnight. Then I got to where I like that feeling of just about to drift off to sleep about 11 o'clock. In the last few years, I've got to where I like to hear that voice about 9 o'clock. Well, Samuel's just laying there. He's just a boy. But he's listening to a voice. And as he lays there in the bed, the Lord begins to speak to him. And he goes to Eli and he said, did you call me? Eli said, no, I didn't call you. Go lay down, boy. And so Samuel went back and laid down again. The voice of God came to him again. It's persistent. The voice of God is persistent. And so God called to Samuel again. And Samuel went back in there and woke up Eli the second time. He said, Master, did you call? He said, I didn't call you, boy. Now lay down and go to sleep. And Samuel went back. He laid down again. And the voice of God came to him again. That persistent, continual voice. Still small voice. But the voice of the Lord was present. And here's what it says in 1 Samuel 3:10. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. You know what? As we discover how to discern the voice of God, it's a sweet thing to know that he will speak to us. And it's a sweet thing to him for us to say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That's what he wants. He doesn't talk to us just to carry on a conversation. Sometimes he's talking to us in a persistent voice because he's trying to lead us in a certain way. When God first called me into the ministry, my first response was, you know, I heard that still small voice. I'm trying to live for the Lord. I don't know much. I'm green as a gourd. I'm a brand new Christian. But I am trying to listen. I'm trying to be sincere. And I'm listening to the Lord. And his voice would come to me in the nighttime or maybe when I'm driving down the road. And I said, Lord, are you calling on me to preach? And I'd shake it off. And his voice would come back again later on. An internal voice. He wasn't talking to me out loud. Don't accuse me of being a Pentecostal. As one preacher said, you think God speaks out loud? And the preacher said, no, I think he speaks louder than that. I said, Lord, are you calling me into the ministry? And I shook it off. I heard him speak again. I said, Lord, I think you're calling me into the ministry. You're calling me to preach? But still shook it off. And then after a while passed, it was, Lord, if you want me to preach, I'll preach. And then let it go. And then it became this. Lord, you're calling me to preach, and I know it. I'll surrender. Next church service, I'll go forward and tell the pastor, the Lord's calling me to preach. He probably won't think I'm telling the truth, but I'll tell him. Like I remember Jack Hiles telling about when he surrendered to preach. He went forward to tell his pastor. He said Jack was the least likely guy in the whole church to be called to preach. And he went forward and told the preacher. He said, preacher, the Lord's calling me to preach. The preacher looked at him and he said, Jack, are you sure? I kind of felt that way. Are you sure, Lord? But then once I heard his voice persistently calling, I said, okay, Lord, I'll surrender. And I'm so glad I never backed up on it. I've doubted my salvation a few times, but I've never doubted my call to preach. All I know is he called me to do the job, and I intend to do it until the day I die. I may get too old to stand in the pulpit, and if I do, put me on a stool. If I get to falling off of the stool, prop me up on a chair. If I fall off of the chair, then put a seat belt around me and buckle me in and let me preach. But I intend to fulfill my call because the voice of God was so real to me, I never mistook it. I'm glad God speaks to us. He may be asking you to do something. Learn to discern the voice of God. Now here's the fourth and last thing. How do we know the will of God? We surrender to his will, whatever it might be, to begin with. Then we look and try to rule it in or out according to the word of God, find if there's anything obviously that would keep us going in that direction. And then thirdly, we listen for the voice of God. And then fourthly, we step into the way. When I'm talking about stepping into the way, here's what I mean. When God is trying to lead us in a certain direction, you may not know what to do 6 months down the road. He may not have revealed that yet. But if you know what to do this moment, do that. The will of God, he may have a will for you and obviously does for all of your life. But if you'll do what you know to do right now, this moment, that means that he'll lead you another step. You know this verse. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's simply saying that when you're submissive to God and you say, God, lead me, I want to know your will, I will do your will, I'm listening for your will. Lord, send me where you want me to go. Ask me to do anything, and I'll try my best to do it, Lord, if you give me the power. Then he says he will direct your path. Isn't that what we're talking about? The will of God is a path. Isn't it? It's a path. It's a way. Abraham's servant, you remember in the book of Genesis when Abraham was getting old, and his son Isaac was, he was like already 40 years old, and Isaac wasn't married yet, and Abraham wanted to make sure Isaac got a good wife before his father died. And so he takes his servant, Eliezer, and he makes him promise him that he'll go and try to find a good wife to bring home to Isaac. Abraham said, I'll give you some camels, I'll give you some gold, I'll give you some silver, I'll give you earrings and bracelets and all kinds of good treasures to take with you. And you take a caravan of people, servants with you, and you go find the woman that you believe God wants Isaac to have. Eliezer said, what if I don't find her? I can swear to you that I'll go, but I can't swear to you that I'll find her. I don't know. How will I know? Finally, he made the commitment. He said, I'll go. And he set out on a journey. And after days and days of journeying with his caravan of camels and servants and gifts, he comes upon the house of several daughters, sons, and one seems to be the one. He prays before he meets this woman enough to talk to her. He said, Lord, if one of these women that shows up here at the watering tank for the animals, if one of them's your choice, Lord, would you have her to say, here, I'll give you some water, sir, and I'll even water your camels. So he's praying. Now that, I don't know if that's a wise prayer or not, but he prayed it. And God answered it. And so the woman said exactly what he prayed about. And so he goes to the house of the damsel and talks to her father and her brothers. And Eliezer says, I'm sure now that God has answered my prayer and he wants your daughter to go back with me and marry my master's son, Isaac. And they talk about it a little while. Finally, it's decided that that's what they should do. And they say, well, you've done a good thing. And here's what he says. The servant who was looking for the bride, who was trying to find the path, the will of God. Here's the words that he said. Listen to this. Eliezer said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Did you get that? I, being in the way, the Lord led me. You know what that means? If he would have waited and not got in the way, if he'd not gone on the path, if he'd not got on the road, if he'd not went on the search, he would have never known the will of God. He would have never found the bride for Isaac. But he got on the road. He said, I don't have a clue where I'm going or who I'm going to talk to and how I'm going to know if I found the woman or not. But he said, Lord, I'll go. And he hit the road. As he went on his way, he was being led by God. Do you see what it means when we surrender to God and say, Lord, you show me whatever you want me to do, and I'll surrender myself to you. Well, it turned out that he got the bride for Isaac. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. I think the biggest key to finding the will of God is when we're busy doing the very next step in front of us that we know what to do. You don't know what waits way down the road, but you know the next step to take. Take that step, and then the Lord will do another step. Remember when the priests were getting ready to cross with the children of Israel into the promised land, and the river Jordan was flooded? Man, there's people saying, we can't cross that. Look at that river. Man, that river's overflowing its banks. We'll all drown. And so they prayed. And the priest was told to put your foot in the water. And when you do, when your foot hits the water, God said, then I'll part the river. Did he do that? He certainly did. You see, if the priest would have stood back and said, man, I don't know if I can cross this river or not. I don't know if I'll ever get to the other side or not. I don't know if we'll ever enter Canaan land or not. But when the priest, in faith, put his foot in that water, not knowing whether those floods were going to stop except that God had promised, the flood water stopped and they crossed over. You see, that's the way we fulfill the will of God. Take the next step and God will show you the next one after that. Let's pray together. And if you have need to come to the altar and pray, you're welcome to do that. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'd bless us. Lord, help us to know the will of God. I pray you'd help us, Father, to be willing to surrender to you, not knowing what you might put on that blank check that we've signed. Lord, help us to just step out by faith as those priests did when they put their feet in the water. Lord, we're not talking about being capricious or flippant. Lord, we just need to know that next step. And so, Lord, I pray that for every serious person who wants to follow your will, Lord, you just make it known to them through being submerged in the Word of God, being surrendered to your will, whatever it might be, listening to the voice of God, and Lord, just willing to be in the way if it means just taking one single step, not knowing where the second step will be. I pray that you'd help us to be faithful to take that step. Lord, it might be that somebody wants to hear your voice tonight. I pray you'd let them hear you. Could be that somebody needs to hear your voice calling them to a mission field or to preach or to be surrendered in some ministry, to just be active in soul winning, just to be faithful to church services. Lord, I pray that you'd speak. Help them to have the faith to take the next step. Altar's open if you need to pray. Sometimes we're pretty blind about what the future holds. I don't guess any of us can really be too certain except for what's prophesied in the Bible. I don't think it's ever a bad idea just to take a step of faith and say, Lord, here's this step that I know to do. If you show me another, I'll take it. Being busy in the way. Being busy knowing to do what's right now. One fellow went to his pastor and said, Preacher, I think I want to volunteer to go to the mission field in Africa. The pastor said, Well, what are you doing for the Lord right now? What kind of ministry are you involved in now? He said, Well, not much of anything. The pastor said, Well, then please don't go to Africa and do that. You see, we ought to be busy right now doing what we know to do.